Welcome, everybody, to episode 312 of the RV Podcast.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast, your guide to freedom and fun through RV travel. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you because here we talk about getting out there, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and of course, always using the right gear and technology to enhance the RV lifestyle. So please know how very welcome you are and how very honored we are that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, lots to share with you in this episode, starting with our interview of the week coming up in a few minutes when we'll hear from a group of RVers who will share their individual stories about just how they got into the RV lifestyle, what challenges they've had, and what the RV lifestyle is really like. And these are real stories from real RVers, unedited, and I think you'll find them very encouraging, inspirationally even. And whether you're a newbie RV or somebody just dreaming about getting an RV, like we always say, or maybe you're an experienced RVer for many years, I know you're going to really enjoy these stories because you'll see yourselves in the stories as well. And that's coming up in just a few minutes. Also this week, we share lots of RV news of the week. We answer your RV lifestyle questions, and we listen to another great Off the Beaten Path report from Tom and Patty Burkett. All that coming up in episode 312 of the RV Podcast. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Wow, we were just looking at all the stories we're about ready to report here on the fires out west and the devastation it's causing. We would have been in literally the thick of it right now. That is exactly where we were supposed to be camping.
That is where we were supposed to be in the time we're supposed to be there. But because of the pandemic, we're not out there.
Yeah. So we are, well, you know, we're counting our blessings. I don't mean to say that lightly and ignore the devastation and effect it's having, the loss of life, the loss of property. But it's just amazing how when you have something set you back, and you know, we were really disappointed. We were supposed to be going all the way through Oregon and Northern California this right this time, and you know, it's we're not out there, and I guess we're awfully glad we're not out there. I mean, our hearts go out to everybody who really is suffering from it. But I guess my whole point is when you think something is bad that's happened to you, it may be sparing you something that's coming down the pike later on, I guess, because with your allergies, for us to have been stuck in that smoke, that would have been something
I wouldn't
else.
Have done well.
No, not well at all.
Our hearts
all
go out to everybody.
Yes.
With those fires. That's just terrible.
It is really
and
terrible.
And our pandemic is terrible.
Oh, my gosh. The photos that we're seeing and the devastation people are experiencing, so our little inconvenience pales. It's not even on a scale of 1 to 100. Ours isn't even in that, doesn't even match there. What little we were set back. So that was the big news. We are still kind of waiting to do some traveling. We're looking for peak color. We're monitoring all those leaf peeper sites that are out there, those websites that show you where in different parts of the country color will be peaking. Leaf peepers. That's kind of what we are.
And actually I've put a little, glitch in our travel plans because I had an unexpected root canal. Everybody knows what those are like, and I got to wait till I get that fixed.
Yeah.
Next stage with that little dental procedure, but glad that I was home when it acted up.
Well, you're moving in the right direction.
I'm moving in the right direction.
And that's really good. So that's pretty cool. So we've got all that going on. We're waiting to take a trip, and as soon as we get a little bit of work done yet on Jen's teeth.
You're going to trade me in. You should have paid more attention when you married this girl.
There's no way I can respond to that and not get in trouble.
Yeah, so you get in trouble.
I'm just going to ignore you said that. Any of that.
Yep.
But we are anxious to go someplace. And, of course, right now it's Hurricane Sally that's threatening the Gulf Coast, our area that we have a condo in where we spend so much time on the Emerald Coast. I've been looking at live pictures of that all day. And, wow, the rain they're getting down there. We just got a note from our manager, the on-site manager of our condo, that there's a leak somewhere above us in our condo, and it's coming down one of our walls, and it's peeling the wall. And oh man,
yeah, we got people coming in Friday, I believe.
Yeah, so I don't
know. Who knows if there'll be a wall there?
Yeah. Just so you know, one thing or another, right? Our RV is looking good, and we're excited about that. Hey, one of the things I wanted to just share, we announced this on our Ask Us Anything, and it's officially out there now that we have formed a couple of special member-only communities, RV Lifestyle Supporter communities, one on Facebook and one on YouTube. And I just, if there's any confusion about that, because I've had a few emails, we're not changing anything. We're continuing to do all of the content that we always do, the podcast, the blog, the YouTube, RV Lifestyle channel, all that, our newsletter, all that free, just as it always has been. But these new members-only support communities are in addition to that. So it's not something that anybody's going to be taken away of. It's an effort for us to build community support where we could rely more on our community rather than on corporate advertising type sponsors. If you know, we'd like to be dependent more on you rather than on them because our loyalty is with you. So it's a way, these support groups are a way for folks to contribute to all of our work and help support it. And for us to give a little something extra back, we're doing a little extra access to us and some inside members only posts and videos that we'll be adding, you know, some of the outtakes of stuff that may not make it in our regular videos, and they get some other perks. Anyway, I'll put a link in our show notes if you are not sure what that is all about. You can find it. One is for YouTube members and one is for Facebook members. And the link will be in the show notes. And you find our show notes at rvlifestyle.com/312. rvlifestyle.com/312. We'll be talking about that link a lot. And what that is kind of like an outline of the whole podcast. So because we know a lot of you are driving and we give a lot of information. We give links. And people say, I can't write that down while I'm driving. So we put it all in the show notes, which is like a big, long blog post that goes up every Wednesday morning on the blog. And the address of it is always our blog address, which is rvlifestyle.com, and then the forward slash, and then it's the episode number of the podcast. And in this case, it's episode 312. So to get the show notes, you go to rvlifestyle.com/312, and then in that we'll put little links and we'll put even little time cues on an audio player where you can go to that section and to listen to it, or you can read the text and find the links. So all that stuff is there. This part of the podcast brought to you by Camping World, America's number one RV dealer, and with a network of, 225 Camping World stores around the country. There's always one close by. We like to kind of think of them as an oasis for RVers. So many accessories that are just, whenever we need something for the RV, we always look at Camping World because they have just all sorts of supplies, every different type. They have furniture, all the things that you need for your RV. And as a listener of the RV podcast, if you go to rvlifestyle.com/campingworld, Camping World's all one word, rvlifestyle.com/campingworld. Listeners of the podcast can get 10% off any of their purchases over $99. And we put together a special page of some of the RV gear and the accessories that we like and use the most. And you can find that at that that address I gave you, rvlifestyle.com/campingworld. The discount code for your 10% off is RVLifestyle10, RVLifestyle10. So go to that page and check out the RV products and accessories that we like and use for your next road trip or your outdoor adventure. Once again, the code, the promo code is RVLifestyle10, And if you go to the address, you can get 10% off everything over $99. Address again, rvlifestyle.com/campingworld.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
All national forests are closed in California, totaling more than 20 million acres because of the unprecedented fires devastating the state. About 30 state parks, including the Big Sur along Highway 1, are also closed because of the fire risk. With so many fires burning out of control in California, and much of the West for that matter, you may want to get an app to help you monitor police and fire activity for safety reasons. To learn more and get the latest on the wildfire situations, we'll post a link on the show notes for this episode. You can find them at rvlifestyle.com/312. That's rvlifestyle.com/312.
Well, Oregon is another state facing devastating wildfires roaring across the state. More than 1 million acres in Oregon are burning. Many reported deaths. Not surprisingly, state and federal officials there are also closing campgrounds and parks. As we report this, much of the land operated by the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, forestry, state parks, national parks in Oregon are either closed or camping is banned. And this includes the very popular Crater Lake National Park, the Suslaw National Forest, and more.
More Americans are definitely camping this year, and some states are beginning to analyze what that means to the forest. In Idaho, for instance, a report found 5 times as many people as normal camping in the Payette National Forest, with many new campers unaware of proper camping etiquette. The report said these campers were improperly disposing of human waste, not properly putting out their campfires, and not cleaning up their trash when they leave. To help all of us remember proper boondocking etiquette, we're going to post a link from an interview we did on our podcast on this very topic not too long ago. You'll find it at rvlifestyle.com/312. That's rvlifestyle.com/312.
This increase that we've been talking about in new and relatively inexperienced campers is something that you're hearing about all over the country. In Michigan's Upper Peninsula's Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park, which, by the way, is one of our favorites, we'll put a link in the show notes so you can see why, state workers at the Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park are reporting an alarming number of search and rescues. Inexperienced campers and hikers are coming to this beautiful but very rugged wilderness unprepared, leading to a rather astonishing number of calls for help. In just 10 weeks, ending on Labor Day, the Porky's park staff conducted 30 search and rescues. Now, normally they do just 6 for the entire year. The vast majority of these calls, they say, are from very inexperienced people who are coming outdoors because of COVID-19. They're going out there totally unprepared with no water, with no compass, without the proper shoes, without the proper clothing. We will put a link on the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/312, for tips on what everybody should know before you start to hike in wilderness country.
Rangers at the Great Smoky Mountain National Park euthanized a bear found scavenging on a man's body. The man was apparently camping in a remote area of the park and died. Whether his death was caused by the bear was not clear as of this report. When backpackers came across the bear on the man and saw the man's empty tent, they left to find a place with cell coverage and called for help. The bear was still on the man when rangers arrived hours later. The campsite, number 82, is closed and will remain so for some time as officials investigate this very horrible incident. Apparently, there had been reports of bear attacking human in this part of the park in past years.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes with free shipping now and a special discount for listeners of the RV podcast. Rad Power bikes are built for everything and priced for everyone. Many different models now. All of them are out there that are available to go to 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. And they give you the choice to ride pedal-free, or you can use the throttle using five different levels of pedal assist. It's perfect for people who want to get back into riding. Maybe you're recovering from surgery or an injury, or you're just looking for a little boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. Jennifer and I both have a Rad Power bikes. We have the city bike version. Mine's kind of the guy's version. You swing your leg over that big crossbar. Jennifer has the step-through city bike, which is one of their newer versions. It's really neat. You don't have to lift your leg over that. You just kind of crawl over right through, step through. Very popular with men and women. All the different models. They have fat tire models, mountain bike models, all of them. Priced less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because the dealer retail markup chain is cut off. They deal directly with you. Rad Power Bikes deals directly with the consumer. And here's that promo code to get an additional $75 off. $75 off if you use the promo code RV Lifestyle. You get free shipping and that $75 discount with the RV Lifestyle promo code. Visit them at radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
All right. This is a question that comes from Lynn, who is one of the 42,000 members of our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. And Lynn writes this. She said, we recently purchased a 2018 34-foot Keystone Alpine. We retired this past December, but we're not full-time as yet. Y'all on this great site have been so incredibly helpful with advice and ideas. Can I ask for some more? I need ideas on how to better organize our kitchen. How do you store pots and pans, glasses, foods, flatware? I'm usually super organized here at home, but I need many more ideas before we take off on our month-long cross-country trip early next month. I've already bought museum putty, command hooks, three curtain type rods to help hold things in place, unbreakable wine and drink glasses, a new cookware set, and a few big bins. I'd really appreciate more ideas and advice, and many thanks. All right, she's off to a good start.
She's off to a great start. I'm impressed.
Now, as Lynn noted, she already bought something called museum putty. Sometimes it's called museum wax. And there was lots of discussion about that in our Facebook page, our Facebook group. That's in our Facebook group. And in case you don't know what museum putty is, it's a removable and, more importantly, reusable adhesive putty that is used by museums and others to secure valuable objects like vases, especially in earthquake zones. Now, since an RV going down the road generates enough rattles, bumps, and sways to probably equal a 4.0 earthquake, the same principle holds true. You put some museum putty on the bottom of anything you will be leaving out on your countertop, you know, like small appliances, the paper towel holder, other things you don't want rattling around and falling off the counter as you drive. The product we use is called Quake Hold. Like that, Quake Hold. And it cost about $10 in, I think it's a 13-ounce container from Amazon. We'll put a link to it. All the products that we talk about, you can find links to them on our gear page at rvlifestyle.com/gear, rvlifestyle.com/gear. One of the things that we so appreciate from our RV Lifestyle Facebook group members is how willing they are to share their knowledge and help out a newbie like Lynn. And help they did. Her question brought 71 different answers from other members. I want to give you just a sampling, and we'll put a link in the show notes to all these answers and to Lynn's original question, and you can check them out there, too, from our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. All right, this came from Lois. Good luck. It really is a trial and error type thing. What works for some won't work for others. I use a non-skid shelf liner for dishes and glasses. My advice, buy lots of non-skid. Not only do you want it on all the shelf surfaces, but also small strips between pans and et cetera. You've done that with some of our bottles. We need to put that in there or on them or around them?
Yes, I've done that. And like the lids, you know, cut a little hole, turn the lid upside down so it doesn't rattle. Put some, shelf liner in there.
Yeah. What do you mean, cut a little hole?
Well, for the, there's usually something to hang on to lift the lid.
Oh, yeah, for the handle. And,
for the handle.
Lid. Yeah. Okay, now I got it. Cut a little hole and put it upside down. Oh, the handle, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you want to do it that way. Here's one from Nora. She said, we recently purchased a new RV ourselves, and in our first trip, I found that while traveling, some refrigerator stuff, including the baking soda, fell and spilled. This week, I went to IKEA, and I purchased white bins for the fridge. Their storage items are fantastic and at a reasonable price, as well as like, well, we've had lots of stuff spill in our refrigerator. We've learned that. Yeah, jelly's the worst.
We don't live close to an IKEA. That's our problem. We got to get over there. We got to make a special hour trip.
Yeah, I think they're all on Amazon. We can probably find that stuff on Amazon.
Yeah, probably should go to Amazon.
Here's a response from Sarah. She says, I use squares of felt, 8x10-ish, to put between pans and plates to keep things from rubbing. Nesting bowls are handy. And back to IKEA, she says they have nice containers with lids for spices or whatever. I put things in containers, then I can reach up and slide out the whole thing to find what I need. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. Let's see. Catherine says, my two favorite rules. Less is more. Don't pack your cabinet so full that there's no room for a souvenir. She said, I find that when I open a lightly packed cabinet that my mind is peaceful and the RV feels spacious. Two, she says, there's always a Walmart. Very few necessities can't be purchased at Walmart or ordered online. We pack in quantity the things like a specific gluten-free bread or a prescription dog food, things that may be difficult to find in distant cities, and the other stuff I guess she just buys. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
That really is. From Marlise, she says, I would try to find little trays or cut down some cereal boxes or something to corral all the little bottles, containers on your shelves. Also, flip the shelves themselves over so the lip is up, and that will help contain things and keep them from coming forward. Jean writes this. She says, I store pots and pans in the oven with towels between them. I ball up bath towels. I push them in my pantry to keep things in place. I put childproof locks on my cabinets and doors to keep them closed in transit. Now, that's a smart idea. Because that's what opens most of those little doors and cupboards. And one last one from Nancy. She said, I got magazine holders from the Dollar Tree, and I put my plates and lids in them. They take up vertical rather than horizontal space that way, and it's easier to find what you want. I also use one for my plastic wrap, aluminum foil, and baggies. Well, those are great tips, and they're all found on our little Facebook group, RV Lifestyle Facebook group. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. I know you got a comment on our last video, and somebody noted how quiet there were no rattles or dings as we went down the road, and that's because you have done many of those things yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video up on our new, when we bought our got our new Wonder back in June. We did a video, and Jennifer shows how she cuts the paper shelf liner and puts that in the shelves and wraps all that stuff.
Yeah, and I was thinking my dishes don't rattle, and if they did, I would put a little bit of shelf liner in between each plate to keep them, and put it in between cups and things. You just have extra towels. You stick the kitchen towels around this, that, and everything to keep everything from rattling.
Yep, that's it. Well, that's our question of the week, and a link to it, of course, on the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/312.
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike at rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
And this part of the podcast brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, makers of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. They're in our RV. We had them in our last RV, and we had them put Battle Borns in our new one. Battle Born's motto is get out there and stay out there, and that's why we have lithium. They're longer lasting. You can run off the grid much longer with lithium batteries. They offer better performance. They charge faster, charge fuller. They're maintenance-free and, of course, like we say, longer-lasting than even AGMs. The team of battery experts at Battleborn can help you out no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, Class A, C, or B van, or a towable trailer, or cab over camper, or fifth wheel, whatever it is. They're experts in getting those kinds of RVs equipped with lithium batteries. They've got different size batteries. They're all protected by a 10-year guarantee, and they can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, all that stuff. So check them out. Tell me you heard about them on the RV podcast. And if you just go to the direct link we've got for Battleborn, it's rvlifestyle.com/lithium. rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV podcast interview of the week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
All right, as we mentioned up top, we have a special RV supporters group on Facebook and YouTube, and it's a place where Jennifer and I can interact a little bit more with our followers. It's a little smaller, a little more intimate than these great big Facebook groups like our regular one, which has, you know, like 42,000 members. We were on there the other day chatting, and one of our supporters, Andrew, suggested that we have everybody share how it was that everybody got into the RV lifestyle, and it's such a great topic. It results always in great backstories. And so I asked some of those who are on our supporters group to call into the podcast and share how they ended up in an RV, what challenges they've had, and what the RV lifestyle is really like. So we're going to play a bunch for you. And these are real stories from real RVers. Now, oftentimes, you know, in all the hype about RVing, you'll see all these models, these Hollywood models, and their scanty clothes and looking just as trendy as can be.
Long neck beers,
you know, standing on top of their RV, doing yoga poses, you know. This is the real thing. These are real stories you're going to hear from real RVers. And I think you'll find many of them resonate with you. They're encouraging. They're inspirational even. And whether you're a newbie RVer or somebody just dreaming about getting one or an experienced RVer for many years, I know you're going to enjoy these stories. So listen up from our RV supporters group, how we got into RVing.
Hi, Mike. It's Andrew Larimore from Massachusetts. Since I started this idea, I figured I'd call in and tell you how my wife, Joanne, and I got into RVing and a few more things. We're currently occasional RVers until we retire in about 2 years, and then we'll probably be more of a half-time RVers. We RV in a entry-level Class A, which is a 2018 Forest River FR3. It's about 32 feet long with two slides. And we ended up buying new. It was a requirement of my wife that it had to be new, but I was able to negotiate a deep discount off the list price when we bought in 2017, but that's a whole different story as to how that happened. We typically right now travel about one weekend a month from April until about the end of October, and then take a couple of weeks for vacation during that time frame also. How we got started is kind of an interesting story. I had tent camped when I was growing up with my family. It was the only way we could afford to vacation. There were four kids in the family, and my dad was the one working outside the home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And when we got married, my wife and I bought a travel trailer, a pop-up tent trailer, and we used that a few times. Including a trip to Fort Wilderness at Disney. At the time, my wife was 7 months pregnant with my daughter, and we took my mother-in-law along with us. On the way, we blew a tire about 20 minutes from Disney, so that was an exciting adventure. But we had a great time, and we used that trailer for a couple of years. We stored it at my in-laws, and when the property was sold, we had to sell it because we were living in an apartment and didn't have a place to store the trailer. So about a year or two after that, we decided to try tent camping. And we bought a tent, took a couple of vacations with the kids, but had some memorable trips, including a tornado go through the campground when we were out sightseeing. and a couple of summer vacations in a row where it poured the whole week, which is not a fun time with two kids and two adults in an 8x10 tent. So after a few years, my wife said, no more, I'm not doing this. If we're going to go on vacation anymore, we're either staying in a rented place or a hotel. But I had always had a goal in my life to spend my retirement seeing America in an RV. So as we started to approach retirement, I began to work on my wife to go back to camping again. Well, my wife wasn't in favor of it after all the flooded vacations that were still fresh in her mind. So I decided to try a different approach. So I started taking her to some of the local RV shows so that, you know, just to look. And once she began to see how nice many of the units were, she started to warm up to the idea. So once I got her more in the mood to say, yeah, we could possibly do this, I wasn't going to really buy a unit until retirement. But after, you know, several RV shows and sort of talking about what we could do with it before retirement, she said, well, let's not, why not we do it now? So I jumped on the opportunity, and we spent about 2 years looking at different floor plans and rigs before we decided what we wanted. So we came up with a list of, you know, requirements and some nice-to-haves. And then in 2017, began to search for the rig. And we settled on the Forest River. And some of the requirements we had is she insisted it have a king-size bed. And the bed, when you were laying it, it could not look towards the front of the RV. It had to look towards the side of the RV. And I'm a big guy, and I'm 6'4", 240. And my requirement was it had to have a nice big shower. And a lot of these, the shower's not that big. But this one had a really decent-sized shower that I could fit in. And then we had a few more requirements and then some nice-to-haves. And that's why we settled on the rig that we did. We've taken a few short trips to break it in, and then we decided on a real long trip of 2 weeks. In 13 days, we went 1,700 miles, and it was three states. Really had a great time. And after that, my wife was sold. So that's sort of our quick version of the story. And like everything you guys do, and hope you have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Shirley Benmott. I am an RV lifestyle supporter. I started RVing back in July of 2016. I sold my house and bought an ERA Sprinter van, twin bed, and hit the road full time. Now, why did I do this? Oh, well, I got tired of sitting between four walls, and just watching life go by. And I said, well, why sit in four walls when I could just apply wheels to those four walls? And so I hit the road. My neighbors and my friends all thought that I was touched in the head when I did that. Well, I was very excited to hit the road and travel, watching and meeting all kinds of people. So I did a lot of research before I did this, probably about 3 years into it, before I actually sold my house. Well, it was very complicated. Should I get a Class A, a B plus, a C? Should I get, what else is there? Oh, well, yes, there is a pull behind. Oh, maybe I should get a fifth wheel. I don't know. Anyway, but I went to the dealership and they said, you need a Class B. So I got my Sprinter van, 24.3-foot Mercedes-Benz, and I've loved it ever since. Okay, that's it for now. So, see you on the road somewhere. Goodbye.
Hey, Mike, it's Debbie Waddell, one of your RV lifestyle supporters. And we have a Class A 33-foot Coachman Pursuit, and we bought our Coachman probably in June. And what got us into camping, it's something we have been talking about for the last 3 years, actually. And one reason or another, we were supposed to go cross country. And
things came up and we couldn't do it. I'm on a very strict special diet, and I can't stay in hotels and eat out all the time. And so that was really the impetus, along with the virus, to purchase our RV. And we've been out since June. We've been out 3 different times, and we were planning a Smoky Mountain trip, but we cannot get into any of the campsites. So we'll look elsewhere. Love being a supporter. Love everything you and Jennifer do. And we just learned so much from you guys. You know, God bless and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Mike and Jen. This is Susan Cornegay. Not counting the pop-up trailer we had for a few years when our boys were small, we bought our first RV just 2 years ago. Although we spent many weekends at some of the great state parks we have here in East Tennessee, we bought the RV for road trips, which I have loved ever since my family's road trips from Ohio to visit my grandparents in California when I was young. Last summer, Jerry and I took the Oregon Trail route from Missouri to Oregon, with stops in South Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin on our way back home. It was so much fun. Later, we went to the Hershey RV show with a group of fellow Pleasureway owners and to the Pleasureway rally in Sarasota in November. This year, our travels have been minimal due to COVID, a few health concerns, and our recent move. Boo. But watching your live streams and videos have helped us stay enthusiastic as we make plans for when we can travel freely again. Next year, we're ready. You two seem like family to us. We're similar ages. We're from Ohio originally, but lived in Michigan when Jerry was in grad school. Plus, we love that you're willing to try new things and that Mike is not mechanical. That gives us hope because we're not mechanical either. Thanks for everything you do. We're so proud to be part of your new RV Lifestyle Supporters Group. Have a great evening. Bye.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. It's Mark Smith, a member of the RV Lifestyle Supporters Group, and glad to call today. My wife and I live in Maryland. My wife's name is Susan, and as to how we got into RVing, we haven't yet done it. We have friends that have a Sprinter van, and my wife has followed them closely in terms of what they do every year, and we've thought about doing it, but COVID actually pushed us into it, as well as some family life changes that are going to enable us to take longer vacations. We were tied to Maryland a little bit, and now we have the ability to take longer vacations, and looking forward to that. So we actually have a coach on order. We ordered a Coach House 271 XL front dinette. Ordered about 2 months ago, and it should be ready in the spring. Did a lot of research onto brands, and it's obviously a larger Class B, and we're pretty excited about the unit. Our first trip, so we're going to go out west. We plan on doing a lot of boondocking. We've equipped this coach with lithium, as well as a larger inverter than came on it, typically. So looking forward to going out west. We've been out west 2 or 3 times just in a regular car or SUV, and having the ability to go boondock. I think traditional RV parks are going to be our last option. We're both golfers, so we're looking forward. We've already joined Harvest Host, even though we can't use it for another 6 months. So we're looking forward to using Harvest Host, staying at core properties, boondocking, and probably last on our list will be the traditional RV parks. So we're excited. We've got an Amazon wish list of about 40 items on it that I've learned about through this group, as well as other YouTube and Facebook channels, and done a lot of reading and a lot of studying over the last 120 days in terms of what everybody thinks are the best options and things to equip your coach with. So we're excited to be a part of this group, and follow you guys every week, and take care, and let's see everybody on the road. Bye-bye.
Isn't that fun?
That really was fun listening to everybody. Yep. I was waiting for more.
Yeah, I know. That's what I love about this new supporters group that we have. It's just so much more intimate, and you're able I mean, I love all, we have 42,000 in our Facebook group, our open, you know, our major, our main Facebook group. Our Facebook page has like 400,000 likes. Our YouTube subscribers, 120,000. So it's hard for us to have that connection. And these supporter groups are a way for us to get really close to everybody, like that group you just heard about. And for them to help support us and help us come away from having to have so many ads all the time. And we just are delighted to be able to connect with these guys so much better. So the question was, is how did everybody get into RVers? And I suppose we should share ours. I posted a picture on the support group about our first RV, and which was a little 13-foot travel trailer. Remember
our
that?
Little Shasta. So you found a picture of the Shasta?
Yeah. How long had been we been married when, I think?
I don't know. Not that.
We just
I don't know.
We just had one child, so it'd been a long, not very often, not very long. We bought that. And I remember our first big trip, we went to Washington, D.C.
Oh, that was so much fun.
And we had our little girl with us, and that was fun. And then we moved from that as we had more kids. We moved into a Coleman camper.
Pop-up camper.
And that, we were gone just about every week to our favorite, it's still our favorite boondocking spot up in northern Michigan.
Yeah, except it's so different now that we don't have the kids and all that excitement of kids.
Yeah, we still go up to that same spot with ours right now, but it's, it, you know, you remember watching the kids grow up and, you know, there's the hill that Jeff ran into the deer with, you know, and Jeff was walking down a trail and the deer
almost
was walking out, they almost ran into each other. But you know, so we started that, then the kids grew up as they all do and went, you know, they started doing their own thing and we ended up with a tent. So we went from a towable trailer to a pop-up
to a tent.
And we did that on and off for lots of years. And then back in 2012 now, we bought a used little Class B motorhome and that's when we started the blog. And then from that came the podcast and the YouTube channel and the newsletter and the books. And so I guess we've been doing this our whole history together, raising kids and going up. And that's how we started. And I love hearing those stories about everybody. You know, they all took about, you know, as long as 3 years to decide what they were going to get. So they did a lot of research and it's fun. So
how long were you wanting a road trek? I mean, you saw one and you wanted it. And you worked on me for a couple years.
A couple, 3 years. You know, I made you come, right after I saw it, I made you watch a whole bunch of videos on it. And you were mildly interested in it.
And you took me to a dealership and had me sit inside it. And I told you there was no way. There wasn't enough room for two of us and a dog, a 65-pound dog.
Yeah, that was, and then about, you know, kind of working on her for another 2 years, we finally got her back and we bought a used one and we've been in small RVs ever since. So anyway, you can listen to all those again right here. We'll put links to that Facebook supporter group that they all came from and all that stuff on our show notes page. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you every week by our friends at sunshinestaterv's.com. You know, one of the things that we do like about having advertising is being able to develop a special relationship with some of them, and this is one. Sunshine State RVs. Nick and Craig from Sunshine State RVs have become not just sponsors, they've been with us for several years, but friends. We trust these guys when people have questions and comments and concerns about a small motor home and we don't have the answer. We tell them to talk to Nick or Craig, and these guys go out of the way to help people be happy. They specialize in small motorhomes, and they have brand new motorhomes from the most popular brands out there, Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Era, Coachman, Marion, American Patriot, many others. They also have a huge inventory of used small motorhomes from the popular brands, and you know how hard used ones are to find. The best thing for you to do if you're looking for a new RV or if you want to check out about what's available in the used ones is go to their website. SunshineStateRVs.com is the website. You can see their inventory. Then you can call Nick or Craig. You can get a video tour or you can go down to their place, their showrooms. And I don't want to call it a showroom. It's their lot, I guess it is, in Gainesville, Florida. And they will deliver it to you free if you want. You buy a new motorhome from them, they'll deliver it to your driveway anywhere in the continental U.S. We like these guys. They don't sell anything that they haven't gone over and checked out. They have a huge checklist. They do 172-point inspections. They make sure everything mechanical, manual systems in top condition that it works great. You check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path.
A unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, our Off the Beaten Path main correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett, are with us again with another report. This one on some very special museums that they have seen all around the country and all off the beaten path.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. Just me this week. Patty's off working for the census. Lots of places in North America have logging history, and much of it is both heroic and sad. Just this week, we were listening to one of our favorite music services, Folk Alley Radio, and heard a song performed by Kate and Anna McGarrickle called The Log Driver's Waltz. Especially in the northern part of the continent, logs were often cut in the winter when snow and ice made moving them through the forests easier. They were piled along the rivers, and when the snow melted in the spring and the rivers began to run, the logs were floated down the river to ports or mills. Log drivers rode the great rafts of logs, guiding them through rapids and narrow stretches to keep them from piling up. This went on until the early 1970s. As you might imagine, being a log driver required great nimbleness, and the song lyric pays homage to that, saying, "He goes burling down and down white water, that's where the log driver learns to step lightly. The log driver's waltz pleases girls completely." Of course, the work was incredibly dangerous. Lumberjacks were well paid in the 1800s and 1900s, and log drivers made twice as much. At today's rates, they might have made $100,000 a year. In 1845, on the Ottawa River alone, more than 80 log drivers were killed or maimed by the unpredictable movement of the log rafts. There are a number of good logging museums around the continent where a visitor can see the equipment and housing used by these itinerant workers. An excellent one is in Algonquin Provincial Park, which has a restored logging settlement and displays a range of gear from early logging days to more modern times. A fascinating part of the display is the series of shallow, human-made ponds on which small tugboats push rafts of logs toward the river. You can climb around on one of the boats here at this museum. Each museum is a bit different, but they share many things in common. Think axes, chainsaws, boots, and wood stoves. The one in Newberry, Michigan, near the winter freeze-out location at Tequamanon Falls, features a cookhouse where you can get a gut-busting lumberjack breakfast and see a camp built by the Civilian Conservation Corps. At the Mount Rainier Railroad and Logging Museum, you can see a wide range of steam-powered locomotives and take a trip behind one of them. If you call in advance, you can even arrange a ride on the locomotive with the engineer. In Stearns, Kentucky, you can also ride an excursion train into the Big South Fork National Recreation Area and learn how logging and coal mining grew up together in the region. One of our favorites, though, is in St. Mary Parish, Louisiana. We like it because it's so unexpected. Frank and Harry Williams were brothers hereabouts, and in the early 1900s, Frank was a Cypress lumber baron and built the largest sawmill in the world. Harry joined forces with Jamie Waddell and founded Waddell Williams Aviation, pioneers in air transport and racing. Hence, the Waddell Williams Aviation and Cypress Sawmill Museum. One side of the building is a brightly lit, pristine home to several beautiful classic airplanes. The other side is an earthy and well-designed trip through the logging history of the region. You can find a different kind of logging museum in the small town of Samoa, California. This one is in the redwood forests of the Pacific coast, but it focuses on cooking. As you might imagine, the cook was a very important part of a logging camp, and cooks were often bragged about by the loggers, who took into account the quality of a camp's food as well as the pay when choosing whom to work for. The Samoa Cookhouse Logging Museum is one of the oldest restaurants in California, and as far as we know, the only camp cookhouse in the West. You can get a hearty meal here while looking through decades of camp kitchen history. Logging has a checkered history, to be sure, when it comes to the environment, but there's no denying it's one of the industries that drove the development of the nations of North America. So come out and enjoy the trees. There are still plenty of them, and while you do, listen around the campfire for the stories of the legendary loggers of a bygone century. Tales of Saginaw Joe, Sawtooth Slim, and even Paul Bunyan out here off the beaten path.
Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
Yeah, we've been to a couple of those museums. And, of course, Michigan was home of the White Pine, which was just the most in demand trees out there because they grow so straight. The logs of the white pines were used for ship masts around the country, and there's lots of places as we've camped in Michigan where we've there's Lumberman's Museum and Monument. There's just lots of places across the state that you can see.
But and we have some white pines in our backyard.
We do.
They are old.
In our home in Michigan, we have some 100-year-old plus white pines. They are a beautiful tree. It's a state tree of Michigan. Oh, I loved listening to the Burkitt's reports.
They give great reports. And
Patty's out working on the census system.
Good for her.
Yeah, that's good. Looking forward to seeing him. We do have one of our gatherings scheduled. Our annual winter camp out is scheduled, and I saw that the Burkitt's signed up, and they'll be joining us up there in, I think, the second weekend in January. Mm-hmm. The 8th, 9th, and 10th, I believe it is, mm-hmm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, up at Tequamenon Falls State Park, snow-covered Michigan, January, our annual winter campout. That we'll get some more stories from Tom around the campfire up there for you. All right, that's it for this episode. We've had fun. Haven't you had a great time?
I've had a wonderful time.
Yep, and we thank you guys so much for listening.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the RVLifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.